Enjoy that music? I think we need to give them a hand, don't you? Thank you so much, Dave, and thank you so much, Carissa. So, contrary to popular rumor, nobody's died and nobody's getting married, okay? Somebody said, you're wearing a suit. Does that mean somebody died or does that mean somebody got married? No, on both accounts, okay? I wore a suit because it's, there you go, okay? So, it's interesting. I've made an observation. When I wear a suit on Christmas or Easter, someone else doesn't. But I'm not going to mention any names. And if I don't wear a suit or on Christmas or Easter, someone else does. I'm not going to mention any names.
Won't be me.
But he's up front. Okay? So anyway, I just thought it would be nice for me to be able to do that. Well, if you are a guest with us, I don't always wear a suit, okay? This is kind of a very special and rare occasion. Most of the time, I just wear a nice shirt, nice slacks, and call it good, okay? But today's a little bit different. And so if you are a guest with us, we want to say welcome, and I'm so glad that you are here, and I hope that our service will be a blessing to you. Thanks so much for coming and joining with us this morning, and hopefully when you came in this morning, you received the bulletin. But before we get into that, there's somebody really, really special to me that's here. And I already told her I was going to do this. So she's already apprised. So Lily, come on up here. So you got to know this story, okay? This is sitting where in that row where Lily just came from is the Christensen family. And they were a part of my previous church before I came here to Lake Hazel Bible Church. One Sunday morning, come here, sweetie. One Sunday morning, I was preaching and this little girl comes walking down the aisle. I was preaching on the floor. They had this really tall platform that was, it was like, nah, I'm going to preach from the floor. So I was preaching from the floor. She comes down the aisle. She gets about right in front of me. She puts her arms up. So I reach down and I pick her up because I carried her everywhere around the church for a long time. So she buries her head in my shoulder and goes to sleep. And I'm thinking, if I give her back to her parents, she could wake up and she could start crying. And I don't want that. And they don't want that. And Lily doesn't want that. And so I just kept preaching. And I preached my whole sermon, closed the service, and she never woke up one bit. Some of you know that experience because I put you to sleep and you sleep the whole service. So you're in good company, okay? She is so special to me. Her whole family is very special. So I hope you'll get to know the Christensen family and make them welcome. Thank you, sweetie. All right, now take out your bulletin. I told her even a couple weeks ago I was going to do that if she showed up today. So she had plenty of warning. All right, take your bulletin out. Take a look. There's no activities this week because it's Christmas. Okay, and so we want you to be able to spend that time. But there are two very important announcements that I need to bring your attention to. The first one is New Year's Eve, our annual New Year's Eve party. And by the way, if you are a guest with us and you want to come and join us for that, that is great. We play group games, we have snacks, we just have a great time of fellowship, and so it'll be a great time. You can come, you can stay as long as you want, you can leave when you want. If you're the last ones to leave, just make sure the lights are turned out and the doors are locked, and that's all we ask. But we want you to come. So I also know that there's this football team that some of us kind of enjoy watching and rooting for, that's going to be playing at 5:30 on New Year's Eve day. And now they're going to be playing this team called Penn State, and for those of you who don't know. And so we're going to provide dinner at 5 p.m. so that you can come, you can eat dinner, you can enjoy the game. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to start in with the group games. And so if you want to come for dinner at 5 p.m., pizza is going to be provided. But there's a sign-up sheet out on the information table. So if you're going to come at 5 and join us for pizza, we need to know that so that we make sure that we have enough pizza for you and for the rest of the people that are coming. All right, everybody got that? And then we'll turn the game on at 5:30. We'll keep eating pizza until it's all gone. We'll watch the Boise State game, and then at 7, we'll start playing games. If you don't want to come for the pizza. If you don't want to come at 5:30 to watch the game, come at 7 and be here and be ready to be able to do that. There's details in the bulletin about that. Hopefully, I made sure that it was clear. Was it clear? Clear as coffee? All right, great. Okay. All right. And then on January 12th, we have our church family dinner, and we have an annual soup and sandwich church family dinner, and we need you to sign up at the information table as well to be able to let us know that you're going to be bringing some things for the church family dinner and to be able to join in that. If you have any questions about either one of those, see me, and I'll try to confuse you even more. Okay? All right, because I've been told I'm really good at that. Lots of other information in the bulletin. Not going to take the time to go over those. That's why it's important. If you don't have a bulletin, grab one on your way out. I'm so glad I'm here today, aren't you? Yes. Have you come to praise? Yes. Have you come to worship? Yes. Have you come to give glory to God? Because that's what this is all about. All right, worship team, let's go.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us before this Christmas week here, and if you'll join me standing, we'll start with our first two, and we'll get going on with that. I'm going to start with the opening prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time we can come to worship you, give you our worship, give you our hearts. And Father, as we come this time of the year to honor your son that was born, to be born in a lowly manger, and to come to worship you, knowing his destiny was to be born to die on a cross for our sins, for the world. And Father, what an awesome time we can come to know you and to worship you this morning. We thank you for this time, and just may you be blessed this morning in your name. Amen. We're going to start with, come on, ring those bells.
Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Everybody likes to take a holiday. Everybody likes to take a rest. Spending time together with the family, sharing lots of love and happiness. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Celebrations come because of something good. Celebrations we love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem, the greatest celebration of them all. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday.
We can ring those bells and have joy as we sing joy to the world. Here we go.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior. while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the name the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Thank you. You may be seated for the next few songs there. We're going to go in and sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing here for you. Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, born is the King This time I'm going to ask the ushers to come for the morning offering, and we'll be singing "O Come All You Faithful," but we'll do a prayer. Father, I just thank you for this morning that we can just sing praises to you about the coming of your Son. And as we come now before the message here, and as we give the offering, and as we pass as our plates, just remember that we worship you and we give out of our worship to you, Lord. And we pray that you will just bless the moments ahead in your name. Amen.
Me.
turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 1. We're continuing on in our series of messages based on John chapter 1 and the first several verses located in that chapter. And then children, why don't you come on down and we'll get you sent off to children's church. All right, let's pray. Father, we are so blessed to be able to be here this morning. Father, the Sunday before Christmas. And Father, we've been learning about what Christmas is all about, and it's all about Jesus. It's not about the lights. It's not about the packages. It's not about the presents. It's not about the activities. It's not about the cookies. It's all about you. And so, Father, I just pray that that will continue today. And Father, as we leave this place in a little bit, our focus will still be you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Go have a great time. Thank you so much. Wow. I love that. Okay, I got to show it to you. Isn't that great? Wow. Thank you so much. For those of you who are guests, giraffes are my favorite animal, by the way. And so that is so precious. Thank you. So there was a pastor who was giving advice to younger pastors about preparing their Christmas sermons. This is what he said. Dear partner in preaching, here's a word of advice as you prepare your Christmas sermons. Keep them short, sweet, and simple. Well, this morning I'm going to try for 2 out of 3. I think during these series of Christmas sermons, I've been keeping them short, and we'll see how it goes today. And hopefully you will find today's sermon to be sweet. But this sermon will not be simple or shallow or superficial. I will do my best to explain an important theological truth. And if you do your best to follow along, none of us, I think, will ever look at Christmas in the same way again. So here's a one-sentence summary of today's message. The celebration of Christmas is about the return of God's glory. And in order for us to be able to understand that that's really what Christmas is all about, that's the celebration is all about, is the return of God's glory. There are some points that we need to consider and to ponder regarding God's glory. And since we're going to be talking about glory, the first point is this: we need to define glory. So we're going to look at a definition of glory. The Greek word used here for glory means heavy in weight, important, significant, and having a great reputation and splendor, brightness and beauty, worthiness and honor. So God's glory is the significance of all his attributes. It has to do with his reputation, and it represents his presence and power. And in the Bible, this glory of God is described as the Shekinah glory. And God's Shekinah glory is the transliteration of a Hebrew word which means the one who dwells. Think about that for a moment. The one who dwells. So when the invisible God displays his presence, he makes his glory visible in profound and powerful ways by coming to dwell among people. When God made his glory known to the nation of Israel, he did so through a thick cloud and by a bright light of fire. And remember our study in the book of Exodus? We talked about this. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21, it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night." What is this telling us? That God guided and guarded his people with the glory of his presence. The second thing we want to think about this morning is seeing a display of glory. That's point number 2 if you're taking notes. According to Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, God instructed Moses, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst." And this portable sanctuary, if you remember from our study in the book of Exodus, was called a tabernacle. And it was the place where God's Shekinah glory shone over the mercy seat. Outside, above the holy place, was the manifested glory of the cloud by day and the fire by night, reminders that God was always present with his people while they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then, 444 years later, when Solomon finished constructing the temple, that did away with the tabernacle, and God's glory filled the temple. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. This same cloud of God's glory that once filled the tabernacle, and now it is filling the temple in Jerusalem. Although God displayed his presence in a powerful way, the people, like they were prone to do, began to take God's glory for granted. Now we're going to see the departure of glory. As the people became spiritually sloppy, they started to sin more and more. Once, when they were losing a battle to the Philistines, they brought the Ark of the Covenant to the battlefield with them. On top of this Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, remember, from our study of the tabernacle? And so they brought the Ark of the Covenant to the battlefield with them, and because of their poor decision, God allowed the Ark to be captured by their enemies, and 30,000 Israelite soldiers were killed in that battle. And when Eli, the priest of Israel, was told that his sons died in the battle and the Ark was now in the hands of their enemies, he fell backwards, broke his neck, and died. When his daughter-in-law heard that her husband was dead and the Ark of the Covenant had been captured, she went into labor and gave birth to a son, naming him Ichabod. And then she died. And listen to this sad narrative that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 21. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel." And then in verse 22, she repeats this again. "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured." The name Ichabod means the glory has departed. The display of God's glory on earth had departed. And as a result, God was no longer dwelling with his people. And the display of his glory on earth became a distant memory. And after God's glory departed, there was no record of God's glory returning. Even when, later on, Herod's temple was built. And even though Herod's temple was grand and glorious, and it took 46 years to build, there was no visible evidence of a visible display of God's glory in it. Things looked bleak as the people waited for a display of God's glory to reappear. Isaiah 64, verse 1, captures the heartfelt prayer of the people of Israel as they mourned God's departed glory. This cry echoed across the centuries, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." In fact, one of our Christmas carols captures this sense of longing and expectation, where it says, "O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel." That's pretty bleak. It's pretty sad. It's pretty horrible news. But wait, there was a descending glory. That's point number four, if you're keeping notes. After centuries of silence, we see God bring about an explosion of sight and sound to some faithful shepherds. Listen to Luke chapter 2 and verse 9. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the," wait for it, "glory of the Lord shone around them, a blinding luminous light, just like the pillar of fire. And they were filled with great fear. Then an entire choir of adoring angels broke through the heavens and proclaimed that God's glory had returned in the birth of a baby." Listen to the word glory in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." These angels, they were announcing and they were celebrating what? The return of God's glory to earth. God's glory was here to dwell with people once again. Isn't it good? We moved from the sad news of Ichabod's lost glory to the good news of great glory brought by Emmanuel, God with us. And so the celebration of Christmas is about the return of God's glory. Now, while the Gospels of Matthew and Luke give the details about Jesus' birth, the Gospel of John provides us with the theology behind the narrative of that first Christmas. And John chapter 1 and verse 14 is so simple, but it is also so deep. Hopefully you found it in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verse 14 of John chapter 1. And the Word, who's the Word? Jesus. We established that back in verse 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his, what is it? Glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God's glory was here to dwell with people again. And the first part of this verse tells us that the Word, Jesus, became flesh. This is the single most unique quality of Christianity that makes it different from any other religion. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And the meaning of Christmas is that the infinite God became an infinite human. And when John tells us that Jesus came and dwelt among us, it pictures the pitching of one's tent. What? A tent. And this means to settle, to stay, to inhabit. In the Old Testament, it's the idea of residence. One author put it like this: Jesus came and moved into our neighborhood. And when we consider what dwelt among us means, we might be tempted to think that Jesus just came to hang out with us. But John uses a specific word that would make those who are Jewish remember the tent of meeting, or by its other designation, the tabernacle, where God came in his glory to meet with the Israelites. The word dwelt here is the same word used for tabernacle. Jesus came and tabernacled with us. Isn't that great? Jesus came and tabernacled with us. He dwells within us. And remember in our study of the tabernacle from our study in the book of Exodus, we talked about the fact that if you were to look at the tabernacle from a bird's eye view, and all of the furniture that was inside the tabernacle was placed in such a way that if you were to be able to look at it from the top down, you would be able to see that every piece of furniture was in the form of a what? A cross. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That is really something. In John chapter 2, verse 11, we read that when Jesus turned the water into wine, he manifested his glory. In Luke chapter 9, verse 32, when Jesus was transfigured, the disciples that were with him saw his glory. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says the Savior is the outshining Shekinah glory of God. He is the radiance of the glory of God. Listen to John chapter 1 and verse 14 again. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Pay close attention to this. In the same way that God dwelt with his people in the tabernacle and in the temple, he now dwells with his people through Jesus. In Jesus, the glory of God has descended, and he has pitched his tent to dwell among us and with us, and God's glory is here to stay. Somebody should say amen. Thank you. God's glory is here to stay, never to disappear again. Isn't that great? How do we know that? Well, let's look at a discovering of glory. Remember this, God's glory was previously tied to a place, but now it's wrapped up in a person, that person named Jesus. And when we believe in him as Savior, his glory comes and resides within us. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us that the glory of God now dwells within his church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 tells us that God's glory dwells within all believers. Listen to this. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. For those of us who believe in Jesus as Savior, God's glory is in us. And everywhere that we go, we take God's glory with us, and it is here to stay, never to depart again. Isn't that great? Just as the tabernacle was at the center of Israel's camping spots. See, this represents the 12 tribes of Israel as they encamped whenever the tabernacle was set up in the center of them. One on the east side, one on the north side, one on the south side, one on the west side, several of them spread out. And look at the pattern. What's the pattern? Whoa. Does God know what he's doing? Of course he does. Okay? And so if you were to be able to look at the Israelites camped out around God's dwelling place, the tabernacle, you would be able to see the cross as a picture of someday when God's glory departed, it would return. But not in a place, but in a person. That person named Jesus. And so just as the tabernacle was at the center of Israel's camping spots, so Jesus needs to be the center of our lives. Just as sacrifices for sin were offered in that tabernacle, Jesus is the complete and final sacrifice offered for us on the cross. Look at the final phrase of John 1:14. Full of grace and truth. His presence has come to us, and that presence is full of grace and truth. That presence now dwells in a person who is the fullness of grace and truth. The word full here means abounding or complete. The word grace here means a favor done without expectation of return. The word truth here has the meaning of something being factual, pure, sincere, and without error. At Christmas, we are reminded that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The manger is filled with the awesomeness of God's glory and grace. But we're also faced with this truth. Because of our sin, Jesus, in the fullness of his glory, came to pay that debt of sin that we owed, but we could not pay. Jesus satisfied the requirement that God required for the payment of sin because he's the only one who could. And when we believe in Jesus as Savior, as we've talked about these several sermons, he gives to us eternal life. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. God's glory dwells within us. God's glory shines in us. And God's glory needs to shine out from us. Let's do that this Christmas season. This Christmas, let us allow God's glory to reside in us and to radiate from us as we live in this dark and dreary world. Father, we're so grateful for what it is that you've taught us this morning from John chapter 1 and verse 14. Father, we're so thankful that even though your glory had departed, you brought it back to us. And you didn't bring it to us in a place. You brought it to us in a person. And that person is Jesus. And so, Father, may he be the focus of all of our Christmas activities. May he be the focus of all that Christmas means to us. Father, may we, as we celebrate Christmas, may we reflect your glory. And may we radiate your glory to those places we may go, whether it's with family, friends, whether it's in our community, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's in our homes, and especially in our church. Father, may we focus on the fact that Christmas is the celebration of the return of God's glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we close, will you stand with me as we join our last song for this morning?
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on